Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Just in case you've forgotten,
the boss is back.
Triple H is my favorite wrestler.
You were an ass long before I made one out of you.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Good news, everyone.
Mace.
Hello, peasants.
Omega.
Bite my shiny metal ass.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
You don't hear me not complaining.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Yo, I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Hey, this is former WWE Superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That can't you dig that? Suck it!
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, where I almost missed the Skype call today because I was too busy playing Metal Gear. And by playing, I mean dying a lot and retrying a lot. But
obsession. What are we going to do with you? God.
Give him a YouTube gaming channel.
Well,
working on it.
Yeah.
No, it's not a gaming show. It's a wrestling show, which is what we're here to talk about. I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Oh, I'd so rather be talking about gaming than wrestling at the moment. But by the way, hearing Barracuda as our little opening theme tonight, all I can think about every time I hear that song is Lucy Liu in that really tight black outfit from Charlie's Angels.
And someone else probably thinking about a tight outfit right now, the one and only Tim Stein.
Alright, so I put on a few pounds. Get off my back.
But there's so much space there now.
You were not expecting that, but that was a good comeback. I'm impressed. You're on the ball. Yay! Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't expect me to sound like I'm absolutely 100% on my game. I'm overcoming the effects of a cold. So my voice might be a little bit rusty sounding tonight, a little bit raspy. Raspy voices on guys is just not any good compared to having a girl with a raspy voice. For some reason, that's considered sexy.
To be honest, if you got a cold and you got a raspy voice for a male, sing. Usually it sounds better, supposedly. Works for Barry White.
Do we really want Tim to start singing?
No.
You know what? Tim wants to sing, he can do it. That's fine, Rock. As long as you're recording, it's all good.
I have this recording that I can go to if I really
want. Anyway, you're talking about listening to Barracuda as the opening song. I find it ironic because I just watched VH1's Behind the Music last night, and it was the story of Heart, who, of course, wrote, produced, and sang the song Barracuda. Really interesting story.
I wait for more fun facts with all the music I've picked out for this evening.
Just hanging around with anticipation for that one.
Oh, it's going to be a doozy.
God, you know. Wonderful shice, laddies, and lusses, and whatever. Anyway, let's just dive right into it, because it's just the same old shit that's happening this past week. Not a whole bunch of overtly interesting stuff, at least for us to discuss. So we'll just kick it off with our win and fail. Hey, Omega, do you have...
Wait, yep. Hold on.
What? Oh. Frosty cold ones. I already cracked mine before the show started.
Yeah, I waited until we started the show.
Mine's about half done. I'll need one at the next commercial.
Yeah, Pepsi, right, Omega?
Yeah, fuck off.
Wait, you don't like Pepsi?
I like Pepsi fine. It's just not my brand loyalty.
I see. So you're a Coke addict.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot less dangerous to say that today than it was in the late 80s.
Well, the word addict still has a connotation to it.
I swear we had this conversation 2 weeks ago. I swear it's like deja vu.
It could be. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention like I ever do. But, hey, Omega, do you have your win and fail ready, or do you have to, like, Google it?
Oh, believe it or not, I do.
Okay, we're going to go to you for your win for the week.
No, I meant Google it.
Oh.
No, I'm ready. My win for the week would be our new split personality Kane.
Okay.
Which is where I kind of wanted them to go with the whole corporate Kane thing in the first place. And now I have no idea why, but it's apparently gone completely that direction with no explanation. I really don't care, because it's hysterical to watch corporate Kane in full nice guy mode backstage and then see the Demon Kane popping out of, popping out of the mat and dragging Seth to hell.
And when he looked at his mask, oh my, it is gone.
The only thing that would have made it better...
The look of surprise on my face is acting.
Yes. The only thing that would have made that better is if he said, it's right there, don't you see it? Like, just completely batshit. Like, he doesn't even acknowledge that, oh yeah, like, but I like the direction of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is definitely a lot of fun, and I tell you, at one point in time, I was seriously hoping that they found somebody to play Demon Kane, so you could have like both of them going back and forth. The closest that we got was having Corporate Kane on the Jumbotron talking to Seth right before he got dragged to hell, and that still worked. That was still entertaining, and I'm like, yeah, this is good. It just brings out that little giddiness in you that every now and then you like to let loose with. So, yeah, no, that's definitely a good one, and that was definitely an option for me to pick. But, Mace, what's your win for the week?
Well, considering that Omega and I have been agreeing on just about every win for the past 3-4 weeks...
You better have picked something different for a change.
I have picked something different for once. And that would be... And I'll recommend this. If you haven't seen it on the WWE Network, go and watch it after we're done with the show, of course. The Table for Three series, especially the one with Molly Holly, Alundra Blaze, and Ivory. That was absolutely hilarious, because the more drunk they got, the better stories got. And also, if you go and watch the very first one with Mean Gene... Paul Orndorff and Rowdy Piper.
Yeah.
Because they're both really good, because they just... All this series is road stories. And it's the best thing that I've seen from them in a long time. And to think that was Piper's last WWE production...
Yeah.
...is almost a very fitting finale for him. That the last thing he did with the company was... sit down for breakfast with two of his friends and have a good time.
If you got to say goodbye, what better way to do it for your fans?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Omega, that is awesome.
Oh, I gotta click on that and take a look at it. But you won't get it. Can you imagine if Owen was still alive, the type of road stories we would get in that series?
Considering the way that Brett is these days, because they probably do Brett, Owen, and probably Jim. Yeah, I'd probably skip that one.
Definitely be some kind of different. Yeah. Well, my one for the week, Paige on Monday night, telling it like it is perceived to be and just letting loose. Sure, it wasn't as spontaneous seeming as some stuff that we've seen from some others. Yeah, we're not mentioning names, are we? But still, it really drove home what a lot of fans are feeling. And I think it was about time somebody said something.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's my win.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know that there's anywhere else to go with that. So let's go to Mace's fail.
Funnily enough, my fail is your win.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but anytime Paige goes heel, it's like listening to a whiny fucking 2-year-old.
Okay, you don't like her as heel.
No, I really don't. Because it's got more to do with what it's done with Charlotte so far, like in a very short span of time.
Yeah.
Than Paige's actual heel turn. Like, I understand why it's been done. Because, mm-hmm. frankly, you know, oh my God, women are getting over as faces. Quick, let's break them up. And, you know, there was a lot of echoing of what fans have been saying about the whole Divas Revolution and everything else as well.
Yeah.
But in the span of 2 weeks, we've gone from Nikki getting her record, even though Charlotte won, we had the big emotional bit at that, and then it got taken away. Then we got the title win at the pay-per-view. Then the next night on Raw, we have the celebration, which is then destroyed by Paige turning heel and telling them all to go fuck themselves or their respective boyfriends. And then you got SmackDown, where basically we're starting to see this become Paige versus Natty. It's like, okay, where can we have a moment where we're not focusing on the heel in the Divas division? Mm-hmm. Could we at least let Charlotte have a moment? You know, and actually have it properly, because frankly, so far, anytime she's tried to have a moment, it's been ripped away from her.
Yeah.
You know, can we have a moment's reprieve from the oncoming villain saga? You know, even Dragon Ball Z for its, you know, 10,000 sagas and villains that it had, they had small reprieves where they actually had a bit of peace and you could calm down from a story before we went straight into the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this has just been, you know, we've gone from Nikki being the focus of evil heel to, okay, Nikki's been defeated, quick, Paige is now the evil villain, let's focus on that. It's like, can we just take a moment to soak in the fact that Nikki's not the Divas champ, let the faces have a moment, please? No, can't do that. Focus on the heels. We can't have happy women on this show, oh my God!
Yeah. I just so you know, I'm chuckling because I get exactly where you're coming from. And my win being your fail, it very easily could have gone the other way. But I'm just taking it for what we're all hoping happens in the very near future. You know, setting everything up and bringing Natty. You know, it's helping to bring Natty back for one thing. And I'm looking at they're breaking up PCB. And maybe they'll team Natty up with Charlotte and Becky, which I don't think is a very bad idea at all. That might be interesting. But at the same time, I'm kind of getting over all of these little women's factions in the Diva division, and I'm hoping that this leads to bigger and better things. That's why I picked it as my win. But I get where you're coming from with your fail, because like I said, it could have gone either way with me on that one. excuse me, Omega.
Yeah.
Fail.
I had like three that I was willing to pick for a fail this week.
Okay. So do you have one that you confirmed and two for honorable mention?
Oh, I was just going to make my fail to Booker, whoever wrote Raw Monday night.
Okay.
There is no picking one or other. It's all coming from the same source, so fuck the source. Because part of it, I completely agree with Mace.
Yeah.
Because, okay, how did the Diva Revolution thing start? Paige didn't have allies. Mm-hmm. So the first one to break up the allies is Paige? What?
Well, okay, I can... this is the one thing I'll agree with the dumbass writer. Paige, if you remember the storyline, Paige brought in Becky and Charlotte to help back her up against the Bellas. Now, to have Charlotte be the one who breaks out from the group and gets the title, the one who gets the glory, who gets the title, I understand that now pissing Paige off. Because in the whole scheme of things, they were just meant to be the backup. Paige was meant to be the one who gets the glory, who gets the belt. But now she's being pushed aside for somebody else.
I could run with that if there was some kind of build-up to it. Like, we know there was a segment on Raw on Miz TV where they were supposed to tease some tension and it completely bombed. Like, I needed more build-up to that because it came out of nowhere. And it just kind of struck me as, okay, on Sunday she's fine. She's the same character she was when this whole thing started. And then Monday, nope, bitch.
True. That's usually where the monkey has bashed its brains against the wall before hitting the typewriter.
But, like, Natty's return pissed me off, too, because the one diva that actually got to... like, the one diva that's missing from the whole Divas Revolution, she finally comes back, finally gets back on TV to kind of enter this new Divas division we have, and loses to Naomi's ass-to-mouth move.
Yeah, you know what? Natty should never lose to Naomi. It doesn't matter what the move is.
No.
And I'm not saying that, at, you know, because we all know, yeah, I'm a friend of Natty, yada, yada, yada. I'm just looking at it as absolute pure talent. And Naomi's ass, while it's thick, and that's good for a black chick, isn't anywhere near as talented as Natty.
It's basic story writing. Here's this one diva that's been left out. She finally returns, and you immediately job her out.
Yep.
Yeah. The unfortunate thing about this is we're going to be heading into Paige versus Natty, with Natty being the elderly den mother who needs to get out of the way for the younger generation led by Paige. Talk about fucking forced tropes and story writing.
I can see this going bad places. It's bad places. No, what was going to be, like, if I had to pick one, my absolute fail was Cesaro. Of course, that's been my fail before.
What, Cesaro not winning?
You have this big hero spot set up.
Yep.
Okay, so, okay, to you and I watching this, we can see how much Big Show is helping him through this move.
Yeah.
But the whole end of this match was him trying to get that snap suplex on the Big Show, and he does, and it looks impressive as hell, as a lot of Cesaro's moves do.
As long as you're not looking for that little jump, yeah.
The jump, Big Show pushing against the ropes, etc.
Yep. Agreed.
So he snaps suplexes Big Show back into the ring, a spot that does not happen ever.
Mm-hmm.
Big Show's up first, WMD, 1-2-3, Cesaro jobs again.
Yeah.
Fuck would you build up such a big move? Why would you dedicate, you know, like a minute and a half to the match to him hitting this suplex just to immediately end it? Like, I know they're building up to Brock and Big Show at Madison Square Garden. They have to make him look good.
Yep.
But Cesaro's the one guy on the roster who doesn't get to have his wins back. He consistently loses no matter how well he performs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just like the most ridiculous it has gotten.
Well,
like
maybe they should have held off on the snap till a later date.
Maybe. God, I'm just sick of Cesaro being put in the losing situations, because they keep putting him in there to make the heels look good in matches, because Cesaro can make anyone look good in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But it's coming at the cost of Cesaro's heat. You know, it's already dying down just because the guy can't buy a win these days. You know, no matter how impressive, no matter how much better in the ring he looks than the guy he's against, he's going to be the one staring at the lights.
Yeah.
So all around.
Would you have used a different opponent for Big Show to make him look strong going into Madison Square Garden? On my birthday?
Well, yeah.
Like I'm going to be there as a present, but you know.
Big Show needs to be taking on powerful guys right now.
Honestly, and I
sure,
know.
Cesaro is a powerful guy, but when compared to the size of the Big Show just should be able to bonk him once on the head and that's it.
Honestly, your list of options is two people. Mark Henry, which no one wants to see, and the guy who probably should have been Ryback.
Yeah, no more Mark Henry and Big Show, please.
Like, you should have had him in there with, like, a well-built powerhouse. You know, Ryback, not the best wrestler, but imposing in the ring. Like, it would, and the recent Intercontinental Champion, it would have looked good.
Yeah, it's very weird, like, you got the Big Show going, doing all this because he's going up against Brock Lesnar at the Madison Square Garden show. Now, to put this another way, at the moment, you know, Big Show is preparing for a big eating contest by eating salads. You know, it doesn't make any sense that they're not going to fucking train him up to make him look like he can actually tackle a contest. At this point, you know, fuck, they might as well just continuously put on Big Show versus Bo fucking Dallas. You know,
oh, yeah.
Because there's barely anybody on the roster of a shape and size or at least power of Brock Lesnar to make him look like a formidable opponent.
And, you know, I definitely have to agree with all of this use that they're making of Cesaro. The guy is over big time everywhere WWE goes. And even the announcer saying pound for pound, you know, strongest guy in the locker room. And sure, yes, I know it's all hype in getting the wrestler over, but of all the wrestlers that don't need any help from the announcers to get over, Cesaro's definitely right near the top. It's annoying when somebody like that has shown what he has shown, and he's still jobbing out.
What we should be seeing at the moment from Cesaro is, you know, the obvious ones that you should be putting on pay-per-view and making people pay for their shit. Mm-hmm. Cesaro versus Kevin Owens for the IC title, or Cesaro versus John Cena for the US belt.
Mm-hmm.
They're your money draws. They're your money matches. You give him either man, and Cesaro is going to put on a fucking great match with both opponents.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I know I brought this up a few times in the past. I don't know how recently. But you all remember when Goldberg and Jericho squared off at one of the pay-per-views. It wasn't WrestleMania. I can't remember.
The WWE run or the WCW run? Because
the WWE run. Sorry, WWE. That's the one where Goldberg got in Jericho's face in the back, and Jericho put him in a front face lock, and Goldberg couldn't get out. Like, in a real fight, Chris Jericho would mop the floor with Goldberg. But the whole match was sold on whether or not Jericho would wind up taking the spear from Goldberg, because he was able to avoid it, and they built up the whole anticipation. And then the payoff was the match at the pay-per-view, where after 5,000 or 6,000 attempts, finally Goldberg nailed him. Finally. But it was because Jericho made a mistake, not because Goldberg was that good, and that's the only reason he got it. But it was the anticipation that they built up. And, you know, going back to Omega, you said they spent like a minute and a half on this setup for the snap suplex, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it felt closer to 2 minutes, but that being the case, they should have teased it and then let them have some kind of a rematch. Teased it again. And if you're not going to give us a match, Big Show versus Cesaro on pay-per-view, which I understand why you wouldn't, then build it up for a Raw Super Show, you know, like when they've got all of these people coming in to boost the ratings, and it will cause the ratings to boost. Then that's when you do the match where he finally gets the snap suplex. And then let Cesaro have the win from there. Don't let Big Show just shake it off like nothing happened to him and then delivers a knockout punch. Anyway, that's the way I see Cesaro. So in other words, good choice for fail, Omega.
Yes, we got the discussions going.
So, yeah, my fail for the week. God. Out of everything that could be picked, you guys picked some, you know, you each picked some pretty good ones, even though Mason and I sort of headbutted with the win fail, which is fine because we explained that. My ultimate fail for the week, really, who was it? Ryback and Bo Dallas. That match. It just a wasted match. The only reason it was there was so Kevin Owens could sneak up behind Ryback and try to lay him out. Ryback going after Owens and having Owens duck out of the ring chicken shit. Fine, we get that. We don't need a crap match for that. I'm not a Ryback fan, and I certainly am no Bo. I do not Bo leave. And to see both of these guys in a match against each other, well, I really don't know how the match went, because that's when I got up and went pee. And that's my fail for the week.
See, now this is the big thing that I've started realizing. I wish I could get the Hulu service here in Australia, because they do like an hour and a half edited version of Raw, which usually takes those type of crap matches and takes them out of the program.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't watch them at all. I wish I could just watch Raw in an hour and a half on a service like Hulu than sitting through 3 hours via my cable subscription. Because, frankly, I'm really, really getting sick of everything to do with wrestling. I'm getting burnt out. I'm getting sick of the shit. I'm sick of seeing the same fucking stupid booking mistakes being done week in and week out. I'm practically fucking done with all this shit. It's annoying me.
I can understand where you're coming from, and this is one of the reasons why when TNA was actually starting to make positive waves, I was rooting for them. And then they went and really buggered things up. Thanks a lot, Pixie Carter. Let's face it, ever since she showed up in TNA, things have turned to shit. And it's just, I tell you, you know, after going through the crap that we see, you go to a good indie show and then you just regain that appreciation for it when it's done right. I mean, there are good indie shows and there are bad ones, and it's not hard to tell which ones are which, because word of mouth really gets it around.
It's not even going to good indie shows or anything like that. I haven't been to an indie show here in shit over 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing things like, you know, Beast in the East, watching the NXT shows, hell, even watching the main pay-per-views.
Yeah.
That's what gets me through 4 or 5 weeks of fucking Raw.
Yeah.
Is that at the end of it all, I'm going to actually watch a decent wrestling show at the end of it.
Yeah.
It's all the stuff in between that's becoming a real chore to get through every week.
Yeah, well, you know, you bring up NXT, and to me, NXT, sure, it's a WWE product, but NXT is an indie show. It just has the WWE engine pushing it down the street. It's still, to me, an indie show, and goddamn, it gets good.
Yeah, and indeed. And that's the thing. We've always said, you know, what would happen if the WWE put their money behind an indie company? Now that we have NXT, we can see what it does. And it does some fucking awesome things.
So,
I just wish that their weekly booking would be fucking better and wasn't done by a bunch of fucking monkeys.
I think that we should...
Especially the head monkey, Kevin Dunn.
There you go. I think we should invade WWE headquarters and demand that we be given the book for 1 month just to show them, just to, you know, claim that we know how to do it.
Oh, yeah, sure, that'll work
out. I want to be shot by the cops.
Well, I don't mean, like, do it in a nasty way where you're stalking somebody. My goodness.
I'm quite sure Vince would never take our calls for a meeting.
Probably not, but shit, one can always dream. Anyway, that being said,
maybe we could have somebody call Eric Bischoff for us.
Oh, hey, did you watch the...
Eric... somebody with his number.
Yeah, well, gee, I wonder who would have that, he said, quickly adding his number. Did you watch the interview with Stone Cold?
You mean the one with JBL?
JBL.
Yes, I did watch it. I wish I had known it was going to be a two-parter, because I would have rather have watched that all in one shot than having to sit here going, when's the next one?
When is the next one?
I believe it's next week after Raw.
Okay. So, that's too bad it was a two-parter, because some of the stories that Bischoff tells may not be 100% factually accurate, but they can be interesting. Now, I'm not calling Eric Bischoff a liar. I'm just saying, because I know some stuff, and you guys know some stuff, and you know I know, and I know you know, that he has a tendency to make himself look a little bit better than he actually was looking when it happened. So,
yeah, but it was compelling to storytelling, and that's all I cared about.
well, entertaining and some good, you know, the stuff he got right was interesting. So, yeah. We got to get a little bit serious for a minute here. A little bit of a news item. I'm sure everybody's heard about it by now, but Kurt Angle's brother arrested last week for allegedly killing his wife. This is a horrible thing, guys. Apparently alcohol was involved, but it wasn't clear during the initial arrest if he was the one who was drunk or she was. The reports were saying that she was trying to get him to throw back a bunch of booze out of the bottle, and he was trying to push it away, and then one thing leads to another. And the next thing you know, some kind of restraining hold that he put on her causes her to causes her heart to stop beating, and she winds up passing away. And you know, I gotta send my thoughts and such and condolences to Kurt Angle's family over this.
Yeah, not gonna comment at this point in time until something has been more concrete.
Yeah, it's a really touchy issue to talk about right now. This probably is not appropriate until we actually know exactly what happened. And
yeah, well, all I wanted to do, see, I didn't want to do any bias or any opinion on this at all, and I knew that you guys wouldn't do it either. It's a news item, and that's all we're going to put out there. We're not going to posit any suppositions like we sometimes do on things that we hear, because we've got some kind of insider information on something one way or the other, either generally or specifically. This is something we won't do that. So, but yeah, it's a news item, and it's just a very sad, tragic event. And at this time, like you guys were saying, let's not jump to conclusions or make anything up or anything like that, and just send our thoughts to the Angle family right now.
I don't even really want to do that, considering the situation.
No.
That's the thing about something like this. It is so ambiguous that you really don't want to say anything either positive or negative, because who knows, you might turn around the next couple of days and eat your words. Let's not forget what happened with Benoit.
Exactly right. You know.
So instead, let's move on from this negative fucking retarded old bullshit, and let's do a little bit of celebration, because the Madison Square Garden show that's going to be airing on the WWE Network is going to be aired full. Unlike
the
ECH,
entire thing
will not miss the first hour.
No editing like the other one was.
Yep, no editing from bell to bell. We get the entire show. Thank God.
Yay!
Hey, I don't mind. I wish they'd do more of these type of house show, you know, shown on the WWE Network type thing. I would actually like to see them do it if they could start doing them from, like, when they do the international tours as well. Just so you can get samplings of what crowds that you will never see on Raw are actually like. Like, I want you guys to experience the things that I've experienced going to the WWE house shows here in Australia. Because you think the guys in, like, New York and that are mark out and go into business for themselves? Oh, you ain't seen fucking nothing.
That is one of the things that always interested me, and it's why I like the, like the, which is why I like the Tokyo special so much, just to see how a different crowd completely operates, you know, and action and behaves with a WWE product.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so used to just how things are, you know, and in Japan especially, where I know that they're more, you know, likely to stay silent during a match and applause during the parts they like, rather than, you know, the monster truck rally we got going on here.
Yeah, the Japanese crowd, for as much as I had to laugh at Twitter going apeshit over the crowd at the Beast in the East special, because all you heard on Twitter was, these fans are boring, they don't do anything. It's like, motherfucker, they are more respectful than you'll ever be in your entire fucking life. You know, this is what happens when you get a nice, respectful wrestling crowd to go and watch a show.
Yeah, I love the Japanese wrestling fans.
If only we could have more of them.
No kidding. You know, parts of Canada for non-WWE shows, you can get some really nice fans. They're not quiet like the Japanese, so it doesn't freak out the wrestlers. But they're not, you know, ignorant about it. They'll show you their appreciation. But again, it's Canada. We're going to cheer for who we want to cheer for. So,
see, I don't mind the UK crowds as well. mainly because when it comes to interesting and very well thought out spontaneous chanting,
yeah,
Europeans, in particular the Scottish and the Brits, they come up with chants that are fucking hilarious and awesome at the same time.
It's like, you gotta just shake and your head. Like, where the fuck did you put that together?
Yeah, exactly. You know, because
it works, but...
again, being Australian, we do a lot of stuff with the Brits. You know, we play cricket with them and everything.
Yep.
If you ever hear the Brits at a cricket match or at a soccer match or something like that, and some of the chants and stuff that they come up with, oh, mate, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
If you want an example, just jump on YouTube and search for the Barmy Army.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are a bunch of English cricket fanatics, and the chants that they come up with are glorious. And I'd love to see those type of crowds at wrestling shows. They do appear in the UK quite often, but we never get to see it because, you know, usually when they go to the UK, they'll go to London, where everybody's still very reserved and upper crust and all that bullshit. Yeah, go out to the sticks or, you know, the suburbs and stuff. There where you get the real good crowds.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, you're talking, you know, like you being Australian, square off with the Brits a lot on a lot of different things. I can relate to that, being also coming from a Commonwealth country. Yeah, we don't do cricket for shit, but we've got a hell of a rugby team. And it's always fun when those buggers come over from England. They always bring a troop with them, a troop of fans. And it can get to be a lot of fun. But anyway, guys, why don't we take our first time out of the evening and then come back and dive through the rest of what we've got going on for tonight. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were... Fandangoing, yes, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, and what's up? Sub, what'd you pick?
I think I picked Cena sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it? They're great.
Great. I love these picks.
Sub, you picked yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan, of course.
Yeah!
why did I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick.
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to chain the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he picked the snake charmer. No.
Ah!
No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
insult of the year. Sub.
Oh, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations. You picked the winning one. Today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get a wrong problem? Can I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
All right, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WTR pick. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Down.
I think my mind, I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
seeing something disconnected from my brain.
I ain't taking calls, so I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles. Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
I'm Sergey Morella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion. How about the time?
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Coming back to the silky strings of AC/DC's Back in Black. Did you know that was the absolute very, very first, more trivia for you, thanks, Rock, the absolute very first song ever played coming into Wrestle Talk Radio from the opening theme when we first went to air all the way back in 2004. Did you guys know that?
No, but it's also the song that I remember playing upwards of about 8 times during a 4-day wrestling tour, and every time I had to hit play on Winamp to start that song up, I just wanted to hit my head against the desk. if there is one way to kill your enjoyment of songs that you love, it's having them as wrestlers' entrance themes that you have to play multiple times per day over, you know, 3-4-day weekend as you go touring with a company.
Yeah, well, not to try to one up you on that, but I'm gonna empathize with you and relate to you on that one. Try being a nightclub disc jockey having to play the same fucking dance tunes all the time and never getting a chance to play something like AC/DC or Metallica.
My old man does karaoke, so believe me, I can sort of relate to that.
We could sit down, have a beer, together.
Oh, no shit. The amount of times that you can sit there and, you know, especially in karaoke, people will play the same dozen or so songs every fucking event. And it just drives
people insane. Well, yeah, the same people will order up the same frickin' song every Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they will get bitchy if somebody else sings it before they get a chance to get on stage.
Yep. So anyway, before we jump back into the stories, I have a question for Omega.
Uh-huh.
Now, we know by the jingle jangle of plastic bricks hitting each other as you tried to annoy us during the show with your building of Lego stuffs. I have to ask this question. Are you buying Lego Dimensions?
The game or just the figures?
Both.
I don't know about the game, because that's an expensive little starter pack.
Yeah, I believe it's like 100 in the U.S.?
Yeah, October's already
going to... 170 here, so yeah, I can relate.
October's already going to financially kick my ass, so I'm... I don't know.
Okay, so if anybody wants to send Omega stuff for Lego Dimensions...
Oh, I'll get some of the little mini sets for sure. You know, tiny little DeLorean, little portal turret, yes. I need those.
I just figured I'd ask because I've been sitting here going, I don't want it, 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 I don't.
John,
I'm
going to
end up buying it. I'm going to end up buying it.
wait till they roll out the Doctor Who stuff.
Shut up. I'm already sitting there going, I need to buy the Simpsons set, the Back to the Future set, the Portal set, the Scooby-Doo set. I'm looking at it, and the prices are just going up and up and up and up. I'd probably end up having to spend like $350 in the first wave alone. But anyway, enough gaming talks. Let's talk to wrestling again, I guess, if we have to. I really don't want to, but sure, let's do it.
Well, we'll fly by. We don't really have a whole hell of a lot. I don't think we're going to be able to squeeze a complete 2 hours up. But, you know, life's a bitch. I mean, it could be worse. There have been times where we've done 3 hours and shouldn't have had to. But looks like all our speculation and everything after the pay-per-view was bang on the money. Sting was hurt. And apparently it was from the first buckle bomb that he felt pain, and then things went numb in his extremities after the second one.
Still want to know who the fuck booked a match with a 56-year-old taking turnbuckle power bombs?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Now, here's the thing. It wasn't the buckle bomb that buggered him up. Turns out that he has a case of cervical spinal stenosis.
No, I'm still pretty sure it's the turnbuckle power bombs that fucked him up.
Well, no, the cervical spinal stenosis. If he didn't have cervical spinal stenosis, the buckle bombs wouldn't have buggered him up. That's my point. Could have because he's 56.
Dr. Stein, can you please explain to the people what the damn thing is?
Well, I was about to, but he was being a smarty pants. Anyway, yeah.
You have to keep going back at him. You can just ignore him and continue with the story.
But, Dad, he started it. Anyway, okay, yeah.
Turn the show around.
There you go. just for those of you who don't know and want to know or are curious now that we've been talking about it, cervical spinal stenosis is a narrowing of the spinal canal, the inside part of the spine that directly is in, I guess you call it contact, with the spinal cord itself. And this is not the first pro wrestler we talked about in the past however many years who has had this condition. It's not something that you wind up acquiring because you're a professional wrestler. It happens to – it can happen to anybody in any profession in all walks of life. It's a narrowing of the spinal – the inside part of the spinal cord, and it can cause problems. You get tingly hands, tingly fingers. Your legs can go numb, and you can't – you know, there's – it'll happen, and people won't – you know, you, there's no reason for it to happen. Like, there's no cause. It'll just happen. In this situation, it happened because of the turnbuckle bumps that that Sting suffered, basically jarring the nerves of running through his spine. That's pretty much what it is.
So in the end, Omega was right. It was the turnbuckle power bombs.
Well, yeah, it was the first one that buggered him up.
That would make.
I'm sorry, I just clicked on the link. I'm sorry.
So what's the phrase that we're looking for here, Tim?
The phrase that we're looking for?
Yeah, the turnbuckle powerbomb was the thing that did the damage. So Omega was
not 100% incorrect. I'm not going to say it, Mace. I'm going to pull a rock and not say it.
Fine.
You want me to say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Give the man enough credits. Or...
He was not 100% incorrect.
Oh, for fuck's sake. So, yeah, Sting getting injured and being diagnosed with cervical spine stenosis. Yeah, that's. I hate to say it's like, we told you, sir. Or something along those lines, because we didn't say it was this is what exactly it was. But eventually, you know, you're going to get to the point where you're going to be a bit too old to take those type of bumps in the ring.
Yeah.
And I know Sting was really trying. You know, he was in shape. He didn't have to wear the T-shirt anymore, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually had a very good match with Seth Rollins. But sometimes you just sort of got to take a step back and go, there's some things I can't do. I know my limitations.
Yeah.
And I think Sting just went that one step too far of, I want to please the fans. I really want to put on something very memorable. This might be one of my last chances. Frankly, that match could now be his last match. Because depending on how he recovers from this, if I'm Vince, I'd be very hesitant to put him in the ring with anybody again. No matter who he puts him in against, and anybody who can be safe, you know, you can put Sting against John Cena at this point. I don't think, you know, even John would be saying, I don't really want to handle somebody that's like as fragile as Class at this point.
Yeah. Well, it's really difficult. I mean, sure, he's in great shape, but again, he's 56. And like you're saying, there comes a point in time where you gotta realize and admit that there are things you can't do anymore. Whether you like to admit it or not, it's just the way it is. I mean, Rocky Balboa said it best in the movie Rocky Balboa: "The older you get, the more you gotta leave behind."
At the same time, though, they've had people's wrestling at least. Okay.
Somebody has his phone on. Jesus, Tim. Anyway, Omega, go forth.
Anyway, like, I can remember when Ric Flair was having his retirement string of matches. How old was Flair during his last run?
He'd be in easily his mid-50s.
Yeah, so about the same area. The matches were having him, the matches, Ric Flair was not diving off the top rope. Ric Flair was not taking table bumps, you know, at the announcer's booths. I don't know for what reason, but they did not need to book that match that way. Like, okay, the spinal stenosis, fine. Okay, so it fucked him up when he hit the turnbuckles. Those two turnbuckle spots were the only turnbuckle power bomb Sting has taken in his career. You don't put someone 56 years old into a spot where they don't know how to take it. Like, especially when it's something like that can get fucked up if you don't know how to take it.
Yeah, and those type of things aren't exactly something that you can practice beforehand.
No, not really.
Even get your body used to the shock. Like, as you said, Ric Flair's matches near the end were very formulaic. They're all bumps that he knows how to do and has done before. He wasn't exactly diving off the top rope. He was getting, you know, thrown or rolled off the top rope onto his side. Yeah. A move that he's been doing for, you know, 30-odd years.
Yeah, like, I think the biggest spots he ever took were back body drops. The ones where he lands on his side, like you said. That's about as intense as those matches ever got. But, you know, they still told stories. They still serve purpose.
Yeah, they just... Like, those matches, it was Flair working within his means. He never took anything he didn't know how to take or hasn't taken before. Whereas I think Sting's just gone with, I just want to put on the best thing possible. I'm feeling really good. Hey, Seth, let's... If you're going to hit me with a turnbuckle powerbomb, go for it. I don't care. Let's do it. You know, the crowd will get a thrill. And now that he's done it, his body's gone, sorry, you're a bit too old for this one. Poing.
Yeah, you could tell it comes from an old school mentality. Look, just hit me with it.
Yeah. And to be honest, Sting's not in the position anymore that he should have been.
Well, now he's in traction, but, you know.
Yeah. So he needs, at this point, I think all we can really do is hope Sting has a good recovery, and by that I mean really good. DDP, get your ass over there, fix this man like you've done so many others.
Yeah.
And then it's pretty much up to Sting to go, okay, maybe if I'm going to have one more match at, say, WrestleMania, Vince, we're going to have to work out somebody who can work very safely with me, and I'm going to need somebody there to pull my head in so I don't get carried away with my shit like I did with Seth. But that's just me.
But would you risk it with Sting?
Depends on how he recovers. If he can recover extremely well, to the point where doctors will be saying, yep, he's 100%, he's fine, then I'd be looking into somebody who can work safely with him.
But remember, this is the injury that ended Edge and Austin. So it's one of those tricky things, especially if he needs surgery.
If he needs surgery, it's game over. Pure and simple. If he needs surgery, Vince won't use him ever again. If he can recover without needing surgery, then yeah, it's going to be iffy. It'll be, I need somebody who can work safe. And definitely a road agent to sort of stand over Sting going, what the fuck are you planning?
No. And here's the thing. They were safe. Except for the table spot, and that wasn't the spot that hurt him, which is the funniest thing. He just went high on the turnbuckle, and that did him in. And he knew
So surprisingly enough, table spots rarely do massive damage. Unless you fuck it up royally, table spots are actually some of the safest things in pro wrestling.
Yeah. No, I meant because the monitor was there. He almost
yeah, the monitor cracking him in the head.
Yeah, the monitor almost got him. Almost. That's what I meant by safe. That was out of it all, because he was really close to the monitor.
Oh, those Spanish monitors, they're a death trap.
Yeah, because they didn't move them, because he just went through it, which they always tossed them away, and they didn't.
It looked like this time they were trying to make it a surprise spot, because it looked like they were going for your standard announce booth. Nope, Spanish.
We fooled you.
See, Good God.
Yeah, so it's one of those things, like, Sting's career is up in the air. And it sucks that this is how he may go out, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of greats go out that way. It's always something you don't expect. You know, it's a kick from Goldberg.
Yeah, that unfortunate kick from Goldberg.
It's a kick from Goldberg, yeah. Or it's too many years of extreme wrestling and, like, you know, like Edge, just all of a sudden a doctor's visit said, no, you can't do this anymore. You're lucky you're not paralyzed already.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, oh, look, we've got to fuse a couple of vertebrae together. You can't really do that shit anymore. Like, that's the unfortunate side of the business, is that you are taking a risk every time you step into that ring. Mm-hmm. You are doing things that the human body is not meant to be doing. You're taking impacts that are akin to a frigging car crash. And those things will build up over time. And it just so happens that Sting's one of the unfortunate ones that is looking down the barrel of, okay, you've stuffed up your spine, we're going to have to do surgery, that's the end of your career. You know, the lucky ones are the guys that can go out on top, that can have that last match and walk away happy and still being able to get up in the morning and hug their kids.
And how many wrestlers actually get that?
Not many.
Which is the very unfortunate thing about the wrestling business.
Yup.
Yeah.
Why do you think I'm happy I haven't wrestled in 4 years?
There you go. People getting into wrestling know what they're getting into.
Well, I always said to myself when I got into wrestling as a competitor was that if my body got to the point where it was starting to say, no, you can't take this, and in my case it was my knees starting to play up, I instantly would turn around and walk away. And that's what I did. You know, it's been probably closer to 5 years since I've last wrestled in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
My knees are getting a lot better, so I've thought about a return. But if I had kept going wrestling at the time with my knees being screwed up, by now I probably would have been looking at something a lot heavier damage-wise and probably not being able to actually get up in the morning.
Right.
So, you know... But then again, I'm not on the same level as these guys where this is their life. This is how they make their money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still have the option of turning away and having a normal life, whereas a lot of these guys, their life is wrestling.
Right.
So, what else we got?
So, more lighthearted news, Tim. Your favorite Skyper is out of jail.
Oh, God, yeah. Sonny. Tammy Sitch. She got arrested back on September 23rd because she basically ignored court orders to show up in court for what was a DUI arrest back on May the 30th of May. She's saying that 9:30 in the morning, she suffered some kind of a seizure. Now, she's never suffered a seizure before, hasn't suffered one since, but she had a seizure 9:30 a.m. in a Walmart parking lot, driving erratically, getting pulled over by a cop who obviously apparently knows how to check for what, you know, to find out if you're under the influence or not. She spent a couple of days in jail, and as of tonight, guys, gals, whatever your preference, good news. You can get in touch with Sunny and Skype with her topless for a whole 10 minutes for only $50. Now, it doesn't matter if you're topless or not. I mean, she'll take her, she'll flash the boobs for $50 for 10 minutes.
How do you know, Tim?
She might actually have to raise her rates because an update from the 26th of September was that she has appeared before a judge. She got set bail at $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's already bonded out, so.
And she posted pictures on Twitter tonight.
So yeah, she posted bond and got out, and the reason I know this, Rock, is because I read the news websites, you moron. I also know for a fact that you can get Sunny fully naked for your 10 minutes for $100, or if you're that desperate, just Google Sunny naked and you get pictures.
Why are you Googling Sunny naked?
I wasn't.
Uh huh.
Yeah, no, it wasn't me that did it.
You have all this research for the show tonight.
I did research, yeah.
Just makes me wonder.
Shut up. You're a
Rock, you're accusing him of spending. Rock, you're accusing him of spending money. Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you think I am? Jewish? Of course I'm not gonna spend any money, even if it is a good deal.
You really call her a good deal?
I said even if it was a good deal. I'm not spending $50 on a 10-minute topless Skype session, and I'm certainly not going to spend $10 for 50 minutes with Tammy Sitch.
I'd rather be giving money to Vincent before I give money to Sonny. Not for the same reasons, though, but just saying, if I'm going to spend money on an out-of-work wrestler, I'd rather spend my money on like getting an autograph from Vincent than, you know, paying Sonny to fucking flash her tits. I was trying to make it.
No, they're kind of neck
right?
and neck.
Fuck off.
I know.
Yeah, you kind of failed. You see, the problem was it was too complicated.
And everyone's going, Vincent? Who is Vincent?
Yeah. I mean, as it is, those two are kind of neck and neck in the batshit crazy championship.
Yeah, no, let me just clarify. He wasn't talking Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
No.
He's talking Virgil. As Vincent.
Talking the one former WWF personality less relevant than Sonny.
Yeah, that's Sonny News. Or news about Sonny. I don't know how Sonny the News was. But.
So do we have like a tally of how many times she's been arrested and bailed and everything in the past year? It's got to be at least double digits, right?
But she claims she's never
she now gets a guest starring feature credit on Cops, so that'll tell you something.
bad boys. Who you gonna screw? Just changes the whole lyrics of that song around if Sonny's on it.
All right, let's take our second break of the evening, shall we?
On that note, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. A couple of more things just to basically bullshit about, and then we'll dive into our standards, all-time greatest, and the quick hits. We'll be right back. About when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
Hot. How does he do this without burning himself?
I don't know, but there's way too much smoke.
Yeah, there is.
Just do the line.
Oh, right. Right. We're here.
Every Thursday night, be a part of the experience known as The Rack. From all of the latest wrestling news, discussions, recaps of NXT and SmackDown, interviews with all of our favorite superstars, and more. Follow the Buzzards to The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of the Dream just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody.
Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 in my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Hell yeah. Oh my god.
Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. That's some biz. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Somebody give me a goddamn...
Ah, it's fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green lights just came on this fucking... about to be plowed by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live... midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well, I can't do the show right now. I've got a phone call coming in. Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrist Talk Radio, everybody, on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Just so you know, that was The Who with Who Are You? And that was the wrong version of the song, Rock.
Meh.
Meh?
It's a version I had in a folder. What do you want to find?
Well, there you go. It wasn't the shit that Tim sent you, so. Yeah.
No, that's on the external hard drive.
The Who Are You? The from the last album that the late great but never straight Keith Moon played drums on before he passed away. Rest in peace, Keith Moon. Yeah, it's also my ringtone. There's more music trivia for you with all of the music that you've got on your playlist tonight.
That's not trivia, Tim.
It is to me. Shut up.
It's more like a random fact that we didn't ask for.
More useless trivia. Random fact number 33.
Bingo. Well,
5 minutes into the show. So, speaking about random facts, hey, October 19th, they're really gearing it up. That's, the last Raw before the next pay-per-view. And what is the next pay-per-view?
Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell. Who's in it?
I wonder, huh?
The Undertaker versus Brock in Hell in a Cell.
Never heard of those guys. Don't know who they are.
Yeah, two brand new up and comers. I think they came from the Indies. Anyway, yeah, they're going to have some major names showing up on the Go Home show, probably to try to help boost ratings to push the pay per view event. Possibly, but we're talking about Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair. We're expecting to see Brock Lesnar on Raw, and then immediately following Raw, he'll be on Austin's podcast.
We talked about this Thursday, and I want to bring it up to you guys. When was the last time Steve Austin was actually on Monday Night Raw?
Can't even remember now that you mention it.
The last time I
keep thinking back to WrestleMania.
That was the last time he actually did something. So he's actually on Raw. That's actually a big deal because the last time he was on there was when he was doing Tough Enough.
I was about to say that was several years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, like after 27, so 2011?
Yeah, so 4 years later.
It makes sense to have him on the show. Was it one, since he's there? Two, he's the cover boy for the video game that comes out the week after. Sort of makes sense.
Oh, hey, did you know that Fastlane 2016 is in Cleveland, Ohio?
Yes, I have learned this fact.
Yeah, I found out about 15 times on Twitter yesterday alone. Thanks, Chase. yes, I know. You're going to the Fastlane. And just thought I'd tease you because of the tweets.
He's row 5, seat 5.
Yeah. Now, is that on the hard cam side or across from it?
We wait for him to catch up and figure it out. But yeah, Austin being on Raw, that's big. Though he is saying he's not wrestling Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, so he says.
Well, yeah, but we've been served before, we'll be served again. Maybe he will be, maybe he won't be. More clues will no doubt hit us between now and then.
Yeah.
I just laugh off the dumb monkeys that, you know, script Raw every week go, oh, let's put a segment with Steve Austin and confronting Brock Lesnar at the end of the show with Steve Austin getting F5'd.
No, apparently he's supposed to be in some sort of panel with Flair and Sean. That's the idea. Talking about...
There's still nothing stopping Brock Lesnar from coming in and F5ing all three motherfuckers at once.
Oh, I know. It's Brock Lesnar. But that's the supposed plan as of like last week.
So it almost sounds like they're planning to have them there for the Raw pre-show.
No, remember they've done a couple of panels before where they have the legend talk up this big, huge matchup.
The thing that I never pay attention to.
So that's what they're doing, I believe, with these guys to talk up Taker and Brock at Hell in a Cell. They're going to use them. Like they used Hogan and Michaels and Flair the last time they did this whole gimmick.
Oh, God, which means we could actually end up with somebody getting F5'd.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it would probably be Austin just so they can storyline the fucking podcast afterwards. You do the top of hour one and you have Austin still a bit groggy at the podcast. Oh, God, I could see this happening.
So we'll see what happens. But yeah, Austin being on Raw, that's, and if he actually shows up, that's a big deal.
Mind you, Michaels against Heyman, because you know for a fact the second they start talking anything to do with the match, Paul Heyman's gonna come out and start ripping on all three guys. And to be honest, you've got three extremely good promo guys in the ring at the same time with Paul Heyman. This could be money.
Could be money.
Could be.
Could also be a car crash too, but...
Yeah, the odds are it's going to be money, though.
just Sean and Heyman alone is going to be could quite possibly be friggin' awesome.
That in itself could be worth the price of admission, potentially. Yeah. Anyway, that's what we're expecting on the October 19th Raw. Of course, the Sunday before that, we'll be doing our next WTR Pick'em. October the 18th. Rock, are we giving anything away this time?
I don't know yet.
Okay. Stay tuned to find out if you might win something for winning Pick'em for Hell in a Cell.
So, going back to Night of Champions, Tim, the newest S.H.I.E.L.D. member decided to show up.
Oh, yes! Oscar Ramirez! I tell you, man, my money was not on him.
No, I don't think anyone had him.
Full regalia, too.
He was ready to go. Full deck
he, out Yeah, he looked like he was dressed up just like Roman Reigns there.
He really wanted to be, you know, the newest member of S.H.I.E.L.D. Some people think he was Joey Mercury.
Well, did you catch what Bray Wyatt said to Reigns?
Yeah.
And said, "Is that your new partner?"
And he started to laugh.
But boy, I'll tell you, security was on him like
absolutely nothing, because he came in from the far side of the ring, walked across it, and then stood beside them before he got taken out.
Yeah.
Security was fucking asleep.
But he was given a 10-day jail sentence for doing that. Of course, he only served 3 days, according to him anyway.
Yeah.
And Jericho, of course, he had to tweet about it, and Jericho's tweeting, and I quote, "So the jackass who jumped in the ring at Night of Champions got sentenced to jail time. Let this be a lesson to all. Stay out of our ring." And, you know, I'm agreeing with Jericho here. You guys all remember the incident that happened with CAW, don't you?
Yes. Jericho also put it out on his podcast that they're given full reign to beat the ever-living crap out of someone who gets in the ring.
Oh, we've seen that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when it happened with Canadian All-Pro, one of my wrestlers broke his hand on the guy's face by the time security was able to get around and drag his ass out of the ring. He buggered up my six-man tag match. Ironically enough, it was a six-man tag match that CAW had going on, and then this guy just jumped in the middle of the ring and tried to pin. Who the hell did he pin?
I don't know. But here's the thing. Any person who, any, you know, podcast that decided to have this dude on their airwaves, because that's how we know he only served 3 days.
Yeah.
You're just seeking attention. Why give a guy who shouldn't be in a wrestling ring attention?
This is not the wait a minute. There was a podcast that had him on?
That's why we know he served 3 days.
Okay, I just knew I read about it on PWMania.com.
Yeah, that's where they got the information from. He was on a podcast.
Whose frickin' podcast?
I don't remember the name of the podcast. All I know is they had him on.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't want to name it anyway, because, again, we're giving attention to someone who doesn't deserve it.
Well, yeah, you know, that's really stupid. You know, here it is, like, ever since the internet sprung up, any asshole with a microphone can talk about whatever they want, and that's fine. Don't parade yourself and pretend, you know, that you know what you're doing, though. One or two people might call me a hypocrite for saying that, Omega.
You're just jealous you didn't come up with the idea first, Tim.
There's no way in hell I would interview a guy like that.
But we know a moron probably would have. Speaking of...
You mean the cancer to the business?
That one.
Okay.
Speaking of morons, there's another lawsuit pending, Tim.
Oh, Scott Steiner's lawsuit. No, I don't mean it's his. It's TNA's lawsuit against Scott Steiner. It's going to be heard in court February the 11th, 2016. Now, TNA is seeking damages and what amounts to a gag order to keep them from talking bad about TNA. Now, here's the thing. By the time they get to court and the decision is rendered, him saying shit about TNA is going to be a moot point.
Are the damages they're seeking the money they need to stay afloat?
Banking on them to actually get tapings in October.
They couldn't ask for enough money to stay afloat. TNA is done. Discovery America has canceled them. Nobody is offering to pick them up. Nobody's in negotiations with TNA. As of now, they're fucked.
But Bob Ryder says good things are happening, even though we haven't announced them yet.
Oh, sure. Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. And TNA is available in 1 billion homes.
They're banking on the lawsuit to pay for the next house show trip. Not the next tour, the next trip. But it's not going to work. Scott Steiner figures he's got about a 141 2/3 chance of winning the lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I really hope everybody
see,
got it.
Now, we all love, you know, Scott Steiner, the maths genius. I just now want to see Scott Steiner, the lawyer.
Is your name Scott Steiner? Your Honor, I object. You can't object. It's your name. I didn't like it when I was...
Mace, it'd be like watching someone
Excuse me, Your Honor, I've got to do push-ups.
Mace, it'd be like watching someone play Phoenix Wright by button mashing.
Oh,
hey, that's how I play. Shut up.
If I object to everything, I'll be right eventually.
So, yeah, that's the latest and the greatest from the word, you know, TNA and Scott Steiner. Is he like a bad penny?
Who, TNA or Scott Steiner?
Well, both of them. They both keep turning up.
TNA would have a penny first.
Yeah, but the other thing is when Scott Steiner turns up, you always know it's going to be amusing.
Well, yeah, that's true, but TNA just reminds
and entertaining, you know, unlike TNA.
Yeah, TNA reminds me of that guy who had his heart pulled out by Terminator in the original movie. He was dead before he realized it, and he's looking at his heartbeat in Terminator's hand. It's like, dude, it's over. Let it go. Seriously. No.
Okay, as long as we're on TNA, I just happened to flip through and spot something. Apparently, Vince Russo was at an event in the UK where a TNA star gave him an RKO, and watching the GIF of it. Do you remember the stunner that Linda took?
Uh-huh.
It looks about the same.
That bad, huh?
Oh, let me share.
So, as he gives the link to share, are we covering Bound for Glory next week? Huh?
No.
Huh?
No.
Not a hope in hell.
What's the main event? The main event for their WrestleMania?
Drew Galloway versus EC3 for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, fuck that.
You also have the Wolves defending against Trevor Lee and Brian Myers for the tag team titles.
Oh my god, that is bad.
What the hell? That just looks like two drunk guys. Catch me! I'm too drunk!
Okay, I know that's like some UK fed, but I swear to god that looked like Spug.
He basically... Hopefully tell me Spug's in better shape than that.
Oh, he is. Okay. Spug is in a lot better shape than that, thank god.
We love you, Spug.
But why, like, all you have to do is flare-flop.
But why would anyone pay Vince Russo money to get in a wrestling ring? Why?
Just to see him take an RKO, which apparently the worst fucking one ever delivered.
Yeah, so I just posted the link to that GIF in the chat room for people if they want to take a look at it.
You do.
It's so bad. Guys, it's a car accident. You can't help but look. Seriously.
And to add on to, you know, TNA stuff, Gail Kim versus Awesome Kong is a match that's happening next week. No? No interest?
No.
Meh.
Then there's an Ultimate X match with four people, Tigre, Uno, and three others that have not been announced yet. But it's coming. They're going to announce it at some point. And they're doing, like I said, Trevor Lee and Brian Myers of GFW, but they ended the GFW storyline. But hey, they're getting a tag title shot.
Yeah.
Bound for Glory, everybody.
Yeah.
Bound for Glory.
Seriously, yeah.
Here's the thing. Here's what's funny. More people will watch a WWE house show the night before than will watch Bound for Glory.
This is true.
It's how sad things have gotten for TNA.
There you go. You know what? Why don't we just jump over to the all-time greatest?
Who's the man? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
We have the Gobbledygooker getting hatched, taking on Victoria, winning the WWE Women's title in a hardcore match. Omega.
Why? Why are we even bothering? I'm going with a hardcore match.
Why?
Because Hector Guerrero wasn't dressed up in a fucking turkey costume for it. And going back and watching it, aside from a missed spot toward the end, is actually a decent match. Like, we actually had really good divas back then who could actually wrestle.
What?
Yeah. Shocking. It's this amazing thing they had.
You're lying.
Nope. It happened. Oh. I was there.
Really? Like you were there.
All right, Mace.
What Omega said.
Good breakdown analysis from Mace. Tim.
Hardcore match. Because Gobbledygooker.
Okay.
Hardcore match wins by default. Anything will win against the Gobbledygooker.
All right. The Royal Family defeating Clowns R Us, taking on Montreal Screwjob, Tim.
I wouldn't call it the greatest moment, but it's sure one of the biggest ones. So let's go with that one.
So he goes with the royal family.
I figured I'd just, like, you know, well, I could say royal family is fuck him up, but no, I'll just lead him in that direction and let him say it. No, you jackass, the Montreal Screwjob. The most infamous thing to ever happen in professional wrestling. Ever.
Mace.
In the history of history.
In the history of the history of the history? History?
Yeah, this one's pretty much a given. Montreal Screwjob, obviously. You know, something that is long-lasting over something that was amusing at the moment, but will never actually be remembered.
Oh, Omega.
Yeah, we'll make it unanimous.
Yeah, there wasn't much to this one, because we were...
unanimous.
We were at the very end of the line on this one. So, those two move on. Next week, we start round two. The Rock becomes corporate champion, taking on the debut of The Shield. And the reunion of the Dudley Boys, taking on Steve Austin, getting dropped. Dropping Triple H off the forklift. Next week on the All-Time Greatest.
You mean we're into round two already?
We're moving fast.
Holy shit, it's the time warp.
Wow.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Alright, so let's go with Tim. Would you rather eat a pine cone or poop one?
Neither one, because both just doesn't sound right. Yep. Although, you can eat pine cones.
Uh-huh.
It just doesn't come out as a pine cone when you're done with it, which is less painful.
So you rather eat one than poop one?
Well, I suppose so. Would you rather poop one?
It's not up to me. It's up to you.
I don't care. I'm turning the question around on you. You answer something for a change, fucker.
Nope. Mace, would you rather have a cup that's never-ending, has a never-ending amount of beverage of your choice, or a briefcase that can transform into any vehicle of your choice?
Well, considering I don't hold the necessary licenses to drive anything, I'll go with the cup that basically has a never-ending supply of... Now, see, that's the real question.
What is your beverage?
What is the beverage?
Well, I'm thinking it's up to you.
Well, that's the problem. Because do I just want it to fill it up with Coke? Do I want to fill it up with water? Do I want to fill it up with bourbon? Can I add bourbon to the Coke? There's a lot more complex in the answer of the what beverage would I prefer in the cup than picking between the cup and the briefcase.
Jägermeister.
Ew, no. But in the end, yes, the cup that fills with unlimited beverage of my choice.
There you go. Do you know how do they make Jägermeister?
I don't care.
They take all of the used bar rags from all the bars in the entire world and they wring them into a bucket.
Omega, if you could apply one video game power to your life, would it be God mode, making you completely indestructible, or the ability to quick save and quick load, but you can still die with no return?
Okay, so... I can abuse save files...
Uh-huh.
And redo decisions in my life.
Uh-huh.
I just can't use them to find out what it's like to get hit by a car, provided it kills me instantly.
Yes.
So, like, I could save my game. I could save my life.
God.
Jump off a building, and then load with 5 seconds to go.
Yes.
God, you're such a nerd.
Now, does the ability to control his life via save files also have the ability that he's able to go and change the hex coding on there to change his abilities and stats at will?
No.
No.
Are you bored?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I am going with a save file. For a simple fact of, if I save right now and give it 60 years...
Mm-hmm.
I could go back. I could live those 60 years again and not fuck everything up along the way. I can Groundhog Day my entire life and be immortal and never have to worry about all that, like, immortal shit of family dying and why is this guy walking around for 300 years shit.
And yet, you know, if only this question was asked a couple of weeks ago, he could go back 2 weeks and forget about a very horrible Transformers game he's playing.
I've got one stream to go.
There you go. Tim, would you rather change gender every time you sneeze or not be able to tell the difference between a muffin and a baby?
I'm not changing gender. You cannot remove the chromosome. I don't care. The chromosome is still there. That just means that you're still the same gender no matter what you do. So forget it. A muffin and a baby? What were you drinking this today?
Nothing.
Maybe that's the problem.
Probably was. So you're choosing the muffin and the baby?
I'm not changing gender, bitch.
But would you change back every time you sneeze, though?
So I'd have to double sneeze?
Yes.
No, not even for 10 seconds do I want to... No.
Okay. Maze, would you rather talk like Jar Jar Binks? You're not allowed to kill yourself. Or look like Jar Jar Binks? You're not allowed to kill yourself.
You're not... I like how you put the caveat in there.
Either way, I'm screwed and hated by everybody and everything, so there's no point in answering.
Yep. So he's just going to kill himself.
But according to the rules, I can't, which is even worse.
So you got to pick one.
So you've got God mode as Jar Jar.
No! Don't want! Do not want!
Malfunction.
Do not
malfunction.
Want. I will find an option C somehow.
Does not compute. Annihilate.
Exterminate.
So pick one.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Yes.
I don't want to look or sound like Jar Jar. No!
You have to.
I refuse.
Better if you sound like him than if you look like him. You can make it work for you, at least.
No! He looks stupid and he sounds stupid. Either way, I'm screwed! So, no!
No. If you look like him or you sound like him, you never will be screwed.
Think of how much money you would make looking like Jar Jar jobbing in a pro wrestling ring.
Think about how much money I would have to spend on hospital bills because people in the street would be beating the shit out of me because I look like Jar Jar Binks. So, no. Question void. Fuck you. No.
None of us are allowed to void questions, so you're not. You've actually
really?
Made
I'm not allowed to void, I'm not allowed to void the question? Okay, yeah, okay, how's this for an answer?
As he hangs up the phone. So, Omega, would you rather wake up naked in the sewer without any memory of the night before next to the Burger King telling you had it your way? Or wake up naked next to Ronald McDonald telling you that you are loving it.
I can't believe you made him hang up. And, yeah, look, jackass.
They decided to hang up because they'd rather not answer the question. Hey, Omega.
You are an ass.
He pulled a mace.
God, that's probably the most disgusting thing you have ever asked me.
Really? He's gotten pretty low with some of these things in the past.
Going with the Burger King only because if I had it my way, at least I'm on top.
Yeah, but would she be asking where was the beef?
Tim, you're trying again.
Quit hanging up. All right, that's it. Are you bringing him back on or not?
He should have called back on his own.
Anyway, while you try to get him back so he can do his plugs, you've been listening to another edition of WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks once again going out to PW Mania, www.pwmania.com, our affiliate site, for all of your updated professional wrestling news. Don't forget tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's the Raw post show with people talking about Raw.
Summed it up, we'll talk about everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. It's Raw post 11:10 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, and of course on Thursday nights, multi-time, multi-award winning The Rack with Lindsay Ward.
We'll be talking NXT, probably some SmackDown, and whatever else we can possibly think of. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out The Rack, Invade, Dragon Con, available at therackradioshow.com. Check out The Rack Extra, Total Divas Season 4, Episode 12. And Episode 13 will be available this week, as it is the mid-season finale. You can follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Rack Radio Show. You can follow Lindsay on Twitter at Lindsay Ward, and check out the website, rackradioshow.com.
And from the fighting city of Philadelphia, Saturday night, midnight era, as close as they can get to it, Eastern Time, it's another edition of The Wild, The Wacky, The Unusual, the show they call CB Radio.
We'll be back this Saturday night for another edition of CB Radio, The Weird, The Wacky, The Unusual. You follow the show on Twitter and Facebook at CB Radio Live. Check out the website, cbradiolive.com. Use the hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Yeah, all that fun stuff. CB Radio. It's always fun and entertaining.
There you go. Yeah, of course, next Sunday night, another edition of WTR Sunday night. Speaking of which, you can follow Wild Talk Radio Network on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Check us out on Facebook. Not once, but twice. That's right, twice. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. People say, what gives? What two pages? One's an interactive fan page. The other one is a like page. You'll want to check them both out. And you can also follow WrestleTalk Radio on the Twitter machines at WTR Sunday Night. Did you know that? Yeah, well, now you do. Follow me on Twitter at FlamesForms, or follow me on Twitter at TrivialTim. Why don't you check me out on Facebook, facebook.com/menchefs. I got a little thing set up there called Man Kitchen. Hey, Mace, I saw you on Twitter.
Good for you. Oh, this is the point where I'm supposed to actually plug shit. Okay.
That was your hint.
Yeah, shut up. You can follow me on the Twitter machines at The Mace Thing. You can also check out various video game writings that I have done over at theouterhaven.net. You can also find my video game reviews over at youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage, where I'm currently sitting here doing the Omega thing going, oh my god, I have to edit, oh my god, I have to edit. What am I editing? FIFA 16 from EA Sports. That's the latest review. Should be hopefully up within the next 24 hours if I don't get distracted by the... Ooh, pretty shinies.
FIFA 2016? The most corrupt video game on the planet.
No, there's no corruption in it, which is quite surprising.
Oh, but wouldn't that be awesome?
That's the only thing EA left out, okay? That's the only thing they left out was being able to bribe officials.
Hysterical in the manager mode where you can actually pay off the ref.
Funny as hell. Yeah, hey, you know, we heard from Omega talking about bribing the ref. Omega, why don't you tell people where they can bribe the ref?
They can't bribe the ref in anything I do.
Well, what do you do, and where do we do it?
I do video stuff all the time these days. All of it right now is currently over at youtube.com/TJOmega, where every weekday there is brand new content, including new reviews, as well as live streaming on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Beyond that, there's TJOmega.org, which is currently in the middle of an overhaul, so it's kind of useless right now, but we're getting there. And for following me to see when it is not useless anymore, there is Facebook at TJ Reviews, or there is Twitter at TJ Omega.
Also, go buy his stuff on eBay.
Yeah, buy my shit on eBay so I can buy more of my own shit.
There you go. So you can put them all up on eBay in 5 years and sell them to get more shit.
Yeah. It's a Mobius strip of shit.
There you go. Mobius. Ooh, good use of the word. There we go. I think we're done.
iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Wild Talk Radio Network. Bye, everybody.
WildTalkRadio.com